Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hello, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and today's topic's a little bit unusual. It's called Being Gentle with Yourself. Before we go there, let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that the light of your word will shine forth, and we will learn how to be gentle with ourselves, and not to be severe and harsh, but to treat ourselves as we would treat anyone else. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you will shine your light into our hearts and minds and souls and spirits, and help the Spirit of Christ to come alive and to show us many things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sometimes we can be overly harsh on ourselves. We can be tough on ourselves because we listened to some extreme sermons, perhaps, or we grew up with strict parents, or we went to a military college which was very strict, or in my case, I went to a very strict boys' school with a very strict headmaster. It was one of those old British kind of schools where we went out and played rugby and learned to be tough and have a stiff upper lip. And it put in my mind the idea that I had to be tough and never show emotion and never give any outward sign of having any stress. So we all grow up with a certain idea of perfection, and we're always trying to reach it. And sometimes we're hard on ourselves. We're harder on ourselves than we would be on our wives or our children or anyone else around us. We have expectations in our mind that we cannot meet. And these expectations tend to have certain words in them. They have words like, I ought to, I should, I must, I always, I must never. And those kinds of words create a lot of stress within us. As soon as you say, I always, I've got to, I must, I'm never, you can almost feel your blood pressure go up. And no one can live that perfectly. If you say, I must never feel depressed, well, that's impossible. You're going to have a bad day, and you can feel depressed simply because you have the flu. It can make you feel depressed. You can get sick, and it's a bad flu, and down you go. You feel sad, you feel terrible, you feel unspiritual. But that's just your body. It's reacting to the virus. It's making you feel lousy. That's not under your control. So you're trying to control something that cannot be controlled. And so if you're to be kind, you need to be as kind to yourself as you would be to anyone else. And if you were talking to someone else who had the flu and they were feeling a bit depressed, you'd say, oh, well, it's just the flu. The flu's making you feel sad. There's nothing wrong with that. Here, have some chicken soup or have some corn soup or have this or whatever and take some vitamin C and get over your flu. You would be kind to them and you should be kind to yourself. So I'm going to go through 10 hints for being kind to yourself. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. So you should love yourself. You should take care of yourself. Now, I'm not talking about being an egomaniac. I'm not talking about loving yourself like the boastful and vain people do. I'm talking about taking care of yourself. Just as the Good Samaritan took care of the person who was injured and beaten up, so you need to take care of yourself. You need to take a day off now and then. You need to slow down a bit. You need to pace yourself in life and not expect yourself to do too much or too many things at once. My wife and I are going through a lot of various circumstances at the moment, and I've had to slow down my ministry a little bit because it's just we've got work happening on the house and this happening here and that happening there. I don't want to burden you with all the things. Our relationship's fine, a great marriage and everything, but it's just that there's a lot of stuff that's happening. And so I've had to slow down a little bit and say, okay, I've got to pace myself. I've got to walk through this, and in a few weeks' time, I can pick up the pace of ministry again. I can't do my normal fast pace of ministry on top of fixing the roof in the house and doing this and doing that. I just don't have enough hours in the day, and I'm 64 years old, and I'm not 25 anymore. You know, in my head, I think I'm 25, but I'm not. And some of us are like that. We want to run the race like we're still 25, and it doesn't work anymore, you know? So we have to learn to slow down a bit and be a bit smart. And so I'm talking about my own circumstances here, and I hope that you can learn from what I've been through in 40 years of ministry, and I hope you can learn how to treat yourself well so you don't burn out, so you don't end up feeling depressed and sad and doing too much too quickly, putting too much pressure on yourself. If you try and do too much, or you try and do things that are too complicated, and if you try to do them too much of a rush, you freeze up. It's like when your computer freezes up. You've got too many windows open, and your computer goes freeze, and you get the Windows blue screen of death, or everything crashes, and you think, oh, what happened? Well, sometimes our brain is like that. It has too many tabs open, and it just freezes up, and it goes, oh, no. So you need to sort of slow down a bit and treat yourself well. Well, it looks what it says in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Now, what's Jesus telling us there? He's saying, I am not going to overburden you with stuff. My yoke is gentle and it's easy and it's light and it suits you. God's got a plan for your life, and that's designed for you. In other words, the yoke, all the things he expects of you, is designed specifically for you. He's got tasks beforehand for you to do, but they suit you, and they're easy and they're light and they're not burdensome. And he says, I am gentle and humble in heart. So he's not some sort of demanding boss, some aggressive boss that you might have had in your life who's not humble in heart, but is tyrannical in heart, some prideful boss, and who is just going bash, bash, bash. He says he's gentle. He's gentle towards those who serve him. He's humble. He's going to lift you up. He's only going to give you the tasks that you can handle. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Jesus doesn't want you to feel weary and heavy laden. He's saying, okay, I'm going to give you some rest. I'm going to give you a break. Give yourself a rest. Give yourself a break. Don't feel that you've got to keep doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing until you blow your foo-foo vowel. It's an Australian expression. I don't know if you have it in Africa, but yeah, blowing one's foo-foo vowel is when you're letting off steam, going beep, beep, and everything's going wrong, and you're overwhelmed, and everything's, all the corks are popping, and you just can't cope anymore. You don't want to get to that state. You want to be someone who is given rest by God. Let's look at 1 John towards the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 5 verses 1 to 3. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God's commandments are not burdensome. Now, the spirit of religion is burdensome. The spirit of religion, those legalistic preachers, they get inside your head, oh, you've got to do this, you should do this, you must do that, line up, quick march, you've got to witness to 50 people today and tomorrow, and do this, and be perfect, and be patient, and la 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 la, and on they go, making life difficult for those who follow Jesus. Well, that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives you rest. The Spirit of God leads you to quiet places. The Spirit of God leads you to quiet waters and good pastures. The Spirit of God leads you to quiet habitations. That's there in Isaiah. The Spirit of God is a restful, calm spirit. The Spirit of God is not frantic, demanding, or putting you in a hurry. You see, the quickest way to get rid of the fruit of the Spirit is to be in a hurry. What happens when you get in a hurry? Firstly, you stop being patient and you start hurrying, and then you start being unkind to the kids or whoever's in your way. And then you lose your graciousness, your peace. You're all rushing around and you've lost your peace. You've lost your ability to be courteous to people. You're snapping here and snapping right there. And finally, if you stay hurried for long enough, you lose your self-control. And your love and all the other fruit of the Spirit. They just fall off the tree once you get into that panicky, hurried state. So you need to slow down and rest and abide in Jesus. You see, you're not going to get anywhere spiritually by running around like a chicken with its head cut off. That's not the way of God. God's commandments are not burdensome. Slow down. The Spirit is a spirit of rest, not a spirit of frantic religion. The spirit of frantic religion is from the devil. It's his pressured, angry, silly, legalistic, burdensome way of being. Okay, let's go through our 10 points that I'm trying to cover today. I hope I get through all of them. Point one, you are not God, and you are not responsible for the whole world. Now, when you look around and you see the people who are poor, who are starving, who have less than you, who are alcohol addictions or drug addictions, who are homeless, you look around and you see them all, and you want to tuck all of them under your wing. You want to help every person on the planet. And my wife and I feel this intensely. We want to help everyone we know, and we can't do it. We are small, ordinary, everyday people who have limited resources. We are not God. We are just John and Minna. We're not God, and we have limited resources and limited time, and we can only take on those things that the Holy Spirit tells us to take on. We wish we could help everyone, but we can't. We cannot rescue everybody, and we can't help everybody, and we have to realize that and slow down and not feel guilty. You know, on the Facebook and other places, there's so much need. And sometimes you look at all that need and you think, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, I want to help out. And your heart wants to help out, but if you do that, you get yourself in a mess. You take on more than you can take on, and suddenly you're going round and round and round in circles trying to help people. And some of those people you can't help, particularly people that are outside of your skill set. I can help people with Bible teaching, but there's complex medical things I shouldn't help with, like people that are very long-term drug addicts on heroin or something. I have no idea how to help them. They need to be helped by professional people. And you need to say, okay, you need to go over to this doctor or this addiction clinic or something like that. I can pray for them. I can try and get the demons out of them. But ultimately, they're God's responsibility, not my responsibility. And I can refer them out. So you don't have to meet every crisis that comes your way. You don't have to rescue everybody that asks for help. You just have to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, I'll help this one, but sorry, I can't help this one, and this one. You are not God. You are not responsible for the whole world. You are not your brother's keeper. You don't have to save everyone in your village or your city. You don't have to organize everything to meet every emergency. You just have to do what God wants you to do and say, Lord, how can I help here, or should I help here at all? And you just listen to the Holy Ghost and let him tell you who to help. So you are not God, and you are not responsible to fix everyone else in the entire world. Let God fix it. Point two, you don't have to be perfect. You see, that's the whole point. Jesus has forgiven your sins. Jesus is interceding for heaven for you. And we know that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and we just confess our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. So that's there in 1 John and in chapter 1. Let's have a look at that. It tells us that we're okay even if we mess up occasionally. Now, you don't want to mess up, but let's have a look at what it says. Let's start verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there we are. We are sinful. We are imperfect. If we say we have no sin, then we're liars. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is taking care of us. The cross is taking care of us. We need to walk in the light, but let's just forget about being super perfect. You're not a stainless steel tube. You're a human being, and you're being sanctified gradually. God's at work within you. He's willing and working within you. You don't have to be perfect. Don't beat yourself up for being human. Just say, Jesus, please forgive me. I really want to do better next time. And get up and try again. Don't crush yourselves. That's the devil's job. He wants to accuse you all the time, every time you make a mistake. Remember, Jesus knows all about you. He's with you on your journey. You don't have to be perfect. Okay, number three, you don't have to achieve the same as your brother or sister or your neighbor. As we get older in life, we think, oh, well, I didn't achieve the same as my brother did, or I didn't achieve the same as other people who went to high school. I went off into the ministry and I did this and I did that, and they've got all this and they've got all that. And sometimes you think these things and they're ridiculous. You don't have to be the same as anyone else. You just have to be yourself. And if you haven't got the Mercedes-Benz or anything, who cares, as long as you've got the righteousness of Christ. So stop comparing yourself with your neighbor. Stop saying, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, you know, I didn't get this achievement or that achievement in life. So just let all that drop off you. God's got his own track for you, and you don't have to walk anyone else's path. You don't have to achieve the same results. You don't have to have a super large church. You don't have to be a televangelist. Whatever it is, let go of that spirit of comparison, because it's not going to help you at all. Number four, you have your own strengths in life. Celebrate those. So instead of looking around and saying, oh, that person's good and I'm no good at that, or this person's brilliant at this and I'm not good at that, celebrate the strength that God has given you. Maybe you're a good preacher in a local church, you're a good Bible teacher, and someone else is a good evangelist, and someone else has got a great healing ministry. Well, don't beat yourself up because you don't have a great healing ministry. You're a Bible teacher, go be a Bible teacher. Or if God's given you the ability to be a very good electrician, don't say, oh, why didn't God make me a pastor? Just be a good electrician. Pastors need electricians to fix their homes too. And electricians are very important in life. So go be a good electrician. That's the gift that God has given you. And don't worry that you're not a plumber, a scientist, or a doctor. God's made you to fix wiring in houses or whatever. So just be the person you are. Celebrate the strengths you've got. And don't worry about the strengths that you don't have. If you're a quiet person, don't worry that you're not a public speaker. Use your quiet personality. There's people who need quiet people to sit with them and bless them through all the trials of life. So just celebrate your own strength. Point five, we've had a look at already. His commandments are not burdensome. God's commandments are not burdensome. If you feel burdened by religion, go back and look at the Bible. God just wants you to love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord with your own heart. And you can forget about a lot of religious junk that's being pushed at you. You need to say, oh, wait a second, I'm feeling burdened. Maybe I'm being conned. Maybe someone's trying to make me their slave. And the New Testament talks about people who are trying to enslave others with rules and regulations. You don't have to go down that path. God's commandments are not burdensome. Which leads to six, do not live in religious guilt. If you're waking up every morning feeling guilty because you haven't met some religious requirements in your mind, if you're getting up every morning and saying, I've got to do this and I've got to do this and I should do this and I should do that, and why aren't I praying for 3 hours every day and fasting this and giving this and tithing that and evangelizing this? If you've got all this religious guilt, let go of that. God doesn't want you living in religious guilt. He's made you to be who you are, and God wants you to do what you can do, not what you cannot do. You don't have to meet every expectation of religious people. These preachers, they have all day to prepare sermons and evangelize and this and that, and you probably have a job or kids or this or that. You don't have the same time as a pastor or a preacher. You can do what you can do, and that's it and no more. So don't go around living in religious guilt, trying to meet up the expectation that you'll memorize 50 Bible verses in a week or this or that or the other. Don't let all these demands get to you. Just be a strong person and say, I'm not going to live in religious guilt. I'm going to go to Jesus, whose demands are light and easy, and I'm going to forget about those people that make me feel bad. If some preacher or teacher is making you feel guilty all the time, then you shouldn't listen to that teaching. It's not helping you at all, is it, really? God hasn't made you to live in guilt. God has justified you. He's wiped you clean. He's given you a new conscience. It's the devil who wants you to live in guilt. And sometimes the devil will make people lay out all these commandments that you're supposed to obey. But just let go of that. Don't let people put you on a guilt trip. And just start living in the kindness and peace of God. Okay, point seven, you are not an angel. You are just a flesh and blood human being, and you need Sabbath rest. You need good food, etc. So you're not an angel. You're not flying around heaven. You have a limited human body. You need a day off every week. You can't keep going 7 days a week in ministry or in work and church work. You can when you're young, but when you get older, it soon burns you out. You don't need to be a fanatic. You're a human being in a human body, and if you're married and have kids, you're raising other human beings in human bodies, and you cannot go too fast for them. Your kids need your attention. You shouldn't be running around here and there. And they need you at home. And you're not an angel. Angels don't have kids to raise. You're a human being. You've got kids to raise and things to attend to and gutters to fix and a house to maintain and savings to put aside and the normal embarrassing human things of life that we have to do. So just remember that you're not an angelic being flying around, and just accept that you're a human being with limits and that you can't keep up with everything. You just have to look around, and your family's a very big priority. What the five priorities that you should have is God, your health, your family, your friends, and then your ministry. You see, if you don't put God first, then what's the use of having a ministry? If you're dead, if your health isn't working, you can't do any ministry. If your family's all messed up, you can't do any ministry. And if you haven't got any friends, then you're disobeying God. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you will have friends. If you're not spending time with friends, then you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. So you've got to have some friends. You've got to be nice to people so they're nice back to you, and you've got to live in community. So there we are, God, health, family, friends, and finally ministry, number five. Okay, you're not an angel. Number eight, you do not have to meet every crazy expectation of every crazy person, and particularly those of manipulative people. Sometimes people will come into your life and they have more demands and more demands. You're a bad Christian unless you do this and this for me. Well, they can really lay a guilt trip on you, and those manipulative people who are always asking for this or for that, you don't have to give in to every demand. You could just let them go and say, sorry, I can't help you today. You don't have to give in to every person with a good story, every person that rings you up at 2 o'clock in the morning wanting you to pray for them because they're in a flat panic. You can say, sorry, I'll pray for you tomorrow morning. Or maybe you have to switch your phone off if you've got too many people like that. So you have to learn to train people. Which leads us to point nine. It's okay to say no when you need to. When you're in ministry, you have to learn to say no. No, not tonight. I'm not running around, because there are some people that are just nervous Nellies. They always want prayer points. They always want attention. They always want counseling. And you have to say, no, you know, so-and-so, we'll do an appointment tomorrow morning. And you can learn how to set boundaries to people intruding into your life. Or people that are always hitting you up for money, you have to say, no, I can't do that this month. I'm sorry, I can't help you. And learn to say no and focus on the things that God has got for you. You don't have to give in to everyone that has a demand. So learn to say no. Children have to learn to say please and thank you, but adults have to learn to say no and set boundaries. And no is the adult word. You have to say no to a lot of things so you can say yes to the things that really matter. And you should make time for your family, your friends, and other people. And tenthly, it's okay to be as kind to yourself as you would be to other people. Some people say, oh, it's God first, then others, then self last of all. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. That's a human construct. You need to be kind to yourself first. You don't want to be going crazy with too much work, because God's commands are not burdensome. You don't want to ruin your health with too much work. You need to be kind to yourself in regards to your health. And you need to be kind to your family and have some reserves left. So if you're kind to yourself, you'll have some reserves left so you can be kind to your wife or your children or your husband or your friends or your extended family. You need to be kind to yourself first. And if you think, I need some rest, and yet the voice says, no, you can't rest. You have to keep going. You have to do this. You have to do that. wait a minute, what voice is that? Is that the voice of God? Or is that the voice of your ministry ego? Or is it your religious voice? It's the devil. It says, let's go back to what Jesus says. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. You see, Jesus is not a person who's going to drive you all the time. That voice that's like a whip in your head, driving you, that's not Jesus. Jesus would say to his disciples, come aside, let us rest for a little while. Let's take some refreshment here. Let's eat some fish around a campfire. Jesus was a person of rest. He's very reasonable. He's humble and meek, which means the demands of Jesus are entirely reasonable. He is not unreasonable. He doesn't have a spirit of religion. He came to get away from all those guilty religious spirits. He's not like the Pharisees. He's not like the religious guilt trippers. He's not like the people who are pushing you all the time. Jesus is there. He's humble. He's meek. He's restful. His commandments are not burdensome. Treat yourself well. Slow down a bit. You don't have to meet all the demands and all the ideas in your head. You don't have to rescue the world. You don't have to be God. You don't have to be angels. You don't have to meet every single human expectation that is thrown your way. You are just you. You have certain gifts that God's going to use to accomplish certain tasks, and you don't have to do more than that. You're not here to solve every problem that's ever been had. You can't solve your neighbor. You can't fix your neighbor. Fixing people is God's job. You can't change your neighbor's attitude. You can't make your neighbor smart. You can't make foolish people into wise people. That's God's job. You meet some people who just go from problem to problem in your life and you wonder, why does this person go from disaster to disaster? Don't get pulled into their troubles. You can't fix them. That's God's job. Just do what you can and pray for them and let God sort out the rest. You're not there to dive into every family dispute around you or to poke your nose into other people's business. Just let all of that go. Do what God wants you to do, no more and no less, and let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ govern you at all times. Be kind to yourself. Rest in God and let Him take care of all the stuff. And you know what? When you slow down, God speeds up. Let me repeat that. When you slow down, God speeds up. And he takes care of the details. This is Pastor John Edmiston, signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you and be blessed in the Lord this week.